Miss you, Jesus. We want you to return. For the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is our heart cry for the last days that we're in. Jesus, we miss you and we want you to come back. So let's keep singing. Let's rend the heavens and come down, Jesus. Come down. Come back. Come back. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Yes, I am coming quickly. Yes, I am coming quickly. Yes, yes.
I'm reminded of two dreams that I had a number of years ago. One dream, I was in a park and I was looking up at the sky and it was broad daylight. All of a sudden, the sky opened up and I could see into the heavens. And I was thinking, Lord, you're returning. And another dream I was reminded of, was another time I heard a trumpet in my ear, in my dream, like in my spirit. And I saw a lion come rushing out of the sky and loop back around and sweep over me. And I'm just reminded of the goodness of God, his faithfulness, reminding his bride, I'm returning. I'm returning. Call me in. Call me in. It's in your heart. Call me in.
Yes, Lord.
Come, Jesus.
Yes, come, Jesus. When the scripture says the Spirit and the bride say, come, let the one who hears say, come. Are we hearing today? Is the cry of our hearts, come, Lord Jesus? The scripture goes on to say again, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who takes the water of life without cost come. Come. It's the cry of our hearts this morning. Come. We're thirsty, Lord. We're thirsty for you, Lord.
Gotta be more of you, more of you. there is more. There is more. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put us in a place, in this place, Lord God, where we have been given the keys to the more. We are not ignorant in this place, God. We've been given the keys to the more that you have, God. God. I thank you, Lord, that you've been speaking to us and you've been showing us how to get the more. Lord, the last couple weeks, we've been encouraged, God, in prayer and fasting. We've been given a tool. We've been given a key to the more on how to be hungry and how to be thirsty so that we can press into the more of you, so that we can see our prayers being answered, God. We thank you that you have put us in this place, Lord. We are thankful today that we are not ignorant, but that we are accountable for the words that have been spoken to us and the tools that we have been given, God. We cry out for the more. We cry out for the more. We cry out for the more. But we are also thankful to you, God, that we have been given the keys and the tools. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to be obedient to you, Lord. We want to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that you will lift us up. Oh, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we are thankful and we do not reject the truth, Lord. We humble ourselves, oh God, because we want the more and we cry out for the more. We say, rend the heavens and come down. And we pick up the tools and we use the keys so that your kingdom will come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're thankful to you, God.
Some of you have stepped into a newer realm for you. In the area of fasting and prayer, you may have started out sometime in your Christian life and had questions about it and stepped into a certain degree. But the Lord's doing something new in this place, in this hour, and He is speaking to His children. He's speaking to our body here. I just really believe that we're right on the precipice of some big explosion in the Spirit, and He's saying, do you have ears to hear? Listen to what I'm saying right now. Because He has given us the keys. He's shown us what we need to be doing. He's shown us where we need to be. He has shown us what to step into. I know some of you this week have had experiences with the Lord that have been new, that have been different. Oh, and the Lord's given you a new fire, a fresh fire. And I just really sense that there's going to be a release today and Tuesday for a greater grace to be able to step in and hold those keys, put them in the door and turn them. I believe that's the word He has for us right at this moment. That there's going to be a release, just a release. If that's been a struggle for you, Lord, I want to hunger and thirst more for you. I don't even know how or where, or it doesn't feel as though I'm being filled up. Scripture says, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. And the Lord says, in those keys that I'm giving you, you shall be filled. So I'm inviting you to come forward for release of the greater grace to step in, to step in with those keys, to step in and turn that lock, to step in, whether you need to read, whether you need to take a step and fast, to start, even start wondering what I do with it, or to have the Lord stir you so that you have the desire. If you want greater grace for that, there is a release of grace today for fasting and prayer. Oh, and it really is powerful from the Lord. It's His hand. And He says, you have my grace. I will release a greater measure for those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty. Oh, and you will see things happen in your personal life and in your corporate life here. There will be changes. It will open up the heavens to a new place. When we cry, rend the heavens and come down, the Lord says, step into what I've already given you, as that release will come. That release for you. How? Be it schedules or busyness or a physical position that you're in, or just lack of desire. It's just falling on deaf ears, maybe, some of messages in the last 6 weeks. You know, I don't know. But the Lord is saying, if you want a fresh stirring, you want fresh fire, how you want a greater grace released, and just come and we will agree with you. How? We have a corporate fasting time, not this coming week, but the next, with an all-night watch of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I'm preparing the soil right now for those who want to step in and hold fast to what He's doing. You will not be disappointed when God moves. Go! You will walk in the fullness of His release. So if that's you, just come on forward and then we'll continue to sing. Worship you, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're not more on fire now than you were at the highest place of your fiery walk with God, come for the release of the greater grace, then step in. How? Fasting is a condition of the heart. Sometimes we equate it just with food. I don't want food. I can't have food. It's wrong thinking. Oh, Lord says, I want to reverse that. And I will do that for the hungry ones. For those who are hungry. Oh, we're on a treasure hunt, a journey for the very grace and heart of God. Yes, Lord. Lord, we're here this morning to receive your greater grace. Oh! Shakaraba.
Wow.
Keep coming. Yes, Lord. He wants you to burn, burn, burn inside.
I know your fire can burn.
Yes, Lord.
I would be worse,
yes, Lord,
here without you.
Yes, Lord. Keep coming, Lord.
For I,
yes, Lord,
was made.
This is your fresh manna today, Lord.
With you.
And we want your fresh manna because it's about you. Oh, we want to burn with that new flame. We want the greater grace right now.
Until I do.
Holy God, sing it to Him right
take
now.
Take my heart.
Yes, Lord.
Purged with flame and truth. A holy heart is all I want. All these chains that get in. I stand in the
flame. Take a step into the flame right now.
Still I will say I trust
Lord. Stir me up, Lord. Burn me up, Lord. Greater grace. Purge us, Lord. Lord, we receive your great grace right now.
True.
Yes, Lord.
A holy heart.
Yes, Lord.
Is all I want.
Yes, Lord. The greater grace, Lord. He's here, he's here. Reach out. Just tell him, Lord, I receive that great grace right now. It's a grace for fasting and prayer. You must step into it, take it, and own it.
Oh, take my heart.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. All chains come off now, Lord.
Holy God,
yes, Lord.
Take my heart.
Yes, Lord.
My heart is yours.
Filled
with flame and truth. Flame and truth. A holy heart is all I want. And I may crashing on the shore. Oh.
Father, we're blessed. We are a blessed people. We're excited to be blessed. We love to be blessed because we can build your kingdom from here. If you favor us, if you bless us, Lord, we will build the kingdom. It won't be for ourselves, Lord. It'll be for you. It'll be for you, Lord, to build your kingdom up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for your Father's heart towards us, Lord. We are blessed to be your children. We are blessed to be in your family, Lord.
Holy Father.
Thank you, God, for your many gifts. You are the most generous person in the universe. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We're honored, Lord. We're honored, Lord, to be yours. To be yours, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Holy, holy.
Get some of the good stuff, church. The joy is here. The joy is here this morning. Joy is in the house. Yes, Lord. Woo. Okay, this doesn't have to end just because worship is ending, so... Thank you, Father. Oh, yeah. This is a good way to start. Not yet. Almost. Almost. You think they're messing up the message? They can't do that. This is the message. To get to the place where we have this kind of joy that overwhelms our lives all the time. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You're always so helpful. I'm the one that stands, remember?
Don't claim that one.
Oh, Lord. Good thing it's a short one. Woo.
Ready for this fast in September? Woo! Hey! Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Am I right this time? I am. And it'll be on our wonderfully new updated facelift website. Woo! Thank you to all who've helped, Drew and Carl and many others, Dylan and all you've helped with pictures. We're not finished with it, but it certainly has taken a step in a great direction. So many of you have helped. So start reading it. We have to do some texting, fix the text and such, and we're still putting some pictures in, but some really cool stuff up there. We might even show a video clip today. I've gone to North. That would be cool. Sometime.
Sometime.
But anyway, check it out. We should. But he's preaching.
Yeah. Joey says, yeah. Well, finish early.
I'll see if he's going to show.
And then she shows a video clip and touches people and they go down and laugh. And
should we release the kids? We're not showing a video
sure.
clip. We're not showing the Ghana clip now.
The children are released.
Okay. Woohoo!
Thought the way it was going, everybody would go out. The children are released. Everyone with a childlike heart, go out the door. And now for a message from our sponsor. No. Pastor Mary Pat has been recommending that you read this book. It's called The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting by Mahesh Shabda. So how many have started to read this book? Wow. Listening to your pastor? Wow. Must be something extra for doing that. Or reading again. Yes. Good, good. Well, you know, it's a little tough now because the title is, Who Are You Resisting? I don't see a whole lot right now. But I'm sure there's some purpose in this. Who are you resisting? You know, the Bible talks about two that you can resist. You can resist the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus. Or you can resist the devil. Now, there is a teaching that's been gaining some prominence in the body of Christ, that you raise up Jesus and ignore the devil. And, you know, there's some truth in that. You raise up Jesus high enough, you don't have to worry about the devil. But it doesn't say ignore the devil. It says resist him. And so we could go into all of his strategies this morning. But most of you are aware of his strategies to one degree or another. And a few weeks ago we talked about the truth, overwhelming bits of deception, lies of deceptions, little lies in our lives, and we repented of that. So we were discovering some of the strategies of the enemy. How he comes in very small, subtle ways many times to try to distract us or to try to destroy us. and we said, let's repent. Repent because it's refreshing. We should smile when we say the word repent, not have the, you know, Christian drum belly face when we say the word repent, because it refreshes our lives. It cleans us out. It clears out blockages between us and the Father. That's what we want, right? And so repentance of believing little lies in our lives or falling prey to the enemy's strategies, we need to repent of that and enjoy the freedom that comes after we repent. But this morning, one of the sweetest promises, besides Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, that I want you to put your hearts around this morning is, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yes, Lord.
And because of that, you will be able to submit to God and resist the enemy much easier if you can wrap yourself around the fact that Jesus, through Holy Spirit, never leaves you or forsakes you. You have to let it soak in your spirit. It's not one of the ones you put on the wall at your house and forget about. We have a number of sayings on our house, on our walls, in our house at home. And when I walk by those, you know, I think, wow, is that really my reality today? And that's what it boils down to. Is this your reality? That Jesus is always with you and he'll never forsake you. He'll never run away from you. When the times get tough, he's still there. When the waters are overwhelming you, he's still there. When the enemy is pounding you with attacks, the fiery darts of the enemy, he's still there. He's still inside of you if you know Jesus. Kind of important to know Jesus in order for Holy Spirit to always be inside of you, always with you, and never forsake you. And I got to thinking, you know, wow, we've been learning a lot of things the last few years about the presence of God, the love of the Father, the prophetic. How does that work? And signs and wonders. You know, it's really nice to be part of a body where signs and wonders actually take place. How many have experienced a healing in the past year from God? Most of you know that I had an ankle that was broken in February. Three places. Doctor said surgery. But no surgery. And my final appointment is Tuesday for them to complete the testimony. Because now I am walking, I am running, and no surgery. It's always surgery. But not this time. Praise the Lord. I know I'm excited. The picnic is today. I don't know how much I'll run. Mary Pat says zero, but I was jumping through a hula hoop yesterday at a birthday party. You know, that's cool. And some of you have had similar healings, and you could come up here and give your testimony. It's a sign, it's a wonder. Oh, it's a coincidence. No, not when you're giving God the credit. He loves to be part of that. And so it is a sign and a wonder that this ankle's healed, that you are healed. Even a headache. If it goes away much quicker than it should, give God so much glory. Act like it's cancer. Give him so much glory. And then when the really big ones come, you'll look at those as, they're nothing. Because you're giving him so much glory in the small things, when the big things come, you'll be able to stand against it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I always count on you. Oh, it's not the running, it's those that tackle me? When has that happened lately? There's much more honor than that in this group. That was years ago. Story for another time. But I was thinking, you know, read through the Old Testament, saints, with the new revelation. Read through the New Testament with the new revelation. But we tend to spend a little bit more time in the New Testament. As you're learning new things from God, go through the same stories. Accounts, really. They're not Bible stories, you know that, right? They're Bible accounts. Stories are things that are made up. Accounts are things that happened. Daniel really happened. He lived. He breathed. You know, he was on this earth. He's not just some little story.
Daniel in the lion's den. Let's make this very sweet.
No, it's a powerful story. Powerful. But as you're learning new things about the ways of God, how He acts and reacts, check out the things that you've read before in the Old Testament and see if you don't see new things. As He gives more revelation, you're going to see those accounts in a whole different way. And I hope to demonstrate that this morning. But before we do that, let's take a look at Hebrews 13:5. And does someone have the Message today? Message Bible?
Wheeler does.
Who does?
Wheeler
does. Okay, I don't need this one in the Message, but I will a few others. Hebrews 13:5. Who has that one that they could read it? Loudly. Go ahead. Hebrews 13:5.
Let your conduct be without hypocrisy.
Yes.
Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Okay. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. Who will read that? Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. You have to read it loud.
What version do you want?
We're going to wait because you're going to do my Message versions.
Okay.
Who will help us out?
Okay. 31, 1 to 5?
Yes. Please stand.
Thank you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Is that it?
I guess so. I don't know if I heard what I wanted in that. Oh, he stopped early? Oh. I wasn't following.
All right. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed.
Okay, so whether it's a nation or an individual like Joshua, the Lord will be with you. So as a group, the Lord can be with us. That's how we take the nations together. If you look through the pictures on the walls of this place, especially in the overflow room, you'll see that the Lord is using this army to take the nations. But we don't, you know, think that we've done this in our in and of ourselves. We know He was with us. He didn't stay here in this building or in Ohio when we went to Ghana and we went to Mozambique and we went to Togo and we went to South Africa and Swaziland and Japan and China and all these places. He went with us. He accomplished the signs and wonders. The people that were healed, the people that were delivered, He did it. The people that were saved, He did it through us, going with us. Every person that's been on a trip realizes that to one degree or another, that the Lord God was with us wherever we went. He never forsook us, so to speak, when we were in another country, ministering for Him or even on the streets here. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9, and we'll deliver the microphone. Got a microphone deliverer.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, and the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
We'll see. Okay, so there's the fulfillment. Joshua hears the same thing that Moses heard, and God promised He would not leave him or forsake him, and that He would not fail. Now, there was a battle that he lost, and the Lord revealed to him it was because he didn't ask about how to attack the city. He just attacked the city. So he learned from that. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that every battle is necessarily going to be won. Oh, well, you know, I lost a battle. I give up. Now I'm going to start resisting God instead of cooperating with God, instead of submitting to God. I lost a battle, for heaven's sakes. Now I think I'll just go into depression. And if we do that in life, obviously that path doesn't work. And you could come up here week after week trying to get rid of depression, and the real issue is resisting God. You're resisting His truth. He says He's with you wherever you go. So you lost the battle. He always wins the war. He always wins the war. So when a battle is lost, you're not done. You're not defeated. You're not some reject. You're still a warrior. You're still a warrior. And so you take yourself and stand before Him and say, I repent of that, you know, whatever I did to lose that battle. And He just takes you on to victory, full victory. So it's those that, you know, allow others sometimes to lift them up. Why do you think Jesus sent the disciples out two at a time? He didn't send them out one at a time, because it's so easy for one to get discouraged. Why does He have marriage? Two people. Why not three or four? More the merrier. Well, He has two because one can lift up the other. He knows us, doesn't He? And so he has planned all of this to benefit us. It's easy for one to be discouraged, but two, usually both of them aren't discouraged at the same time. One can lift the other one up. He has a plan. A good plan. So, James 4:7. Here's our marching orders. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, that doesn't mean to let the joy go out of the place this morning. It's just meaning to be sober about these things. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will
flee.
Sometimes we submit to God, we think we're resisting the devil, but we're not believing he's going to flee. He does flee. The attack does end. Sometimes he sends lying symptoms or lying situations that look way too big for us to tackle. But it's just a big vapor. It's just a big lie. Because God is more than able to take us through anything. And so we have to call it that. We have to see it and say, oh, wait a minute, these symptoms. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I had this spot that followed me around in my vision. The peripheral of my vision. And I thought of people that, you know, they had to have this or that done in their eye. And wait a minute. I have a healing God. I have a Father that gives the whole loaf. He doesn't give me pieces, he gives me the whole loaf. What am I fearing, this little spot? It's a lie. In this case, I knew it was a lie. Now, some things, like a broken ankle, they're real. And you have to trust him for the healing of that. But this was just a lie. It was just something to bring fear. How many know that fear is much more powerful than anything else? Anything else that could come against us. The fear that comes is more powerful than the attack. And so, at my best, this time I said, no, I'm not going to fear this thing. It's going to go. Told Mary Pat about it. We prayed. At first, it didn't leave. We prayed some more. I started believing this thing really is a lying symptom. It's going to go, and it went. It left. It's not there today. Okay. Why? Because God wants us to step into that kind of thing and not fear things. Not fear the fear. But stand against it in our lives, and many things just go right away because it's all based on fear. It's a lying symptom. It's not even real. And we're believing, oh my gosh, now my sight's going. Woo, get into that. I'm going to call a doctor. And let's go to him first. He's the healer. If we have a problem after a while, fine, go to the doctor. No problem with that. But let's go to him first. Some things he just takes away like that. When I still had a little bit of the gimp left in my ankle, we did the cool project. Man, I got into it. I was working really hard. And, you know, Tom and I and Joey, we were working really hard. Man, I was tearing this grass out and twisting and everything. I sat down and I was tearing at things. It started to rain. I felt dirty and I felt good.
And you looked good.
Yeah. Like a wet rat that had been in the sewer. So I got home. I served at the cool project. I'm so cool, it's dripping off of me. And by the time I reached my bedroom, I noticed the stairs were a little harder to take. up to our bedroom. Mary Pat's in Mozambique. She couldn't help me. So, went up the stairs. Ooh, whoa. Think I might have overdone it? Uh-huh. And I get to my bed, and I'm like, boop, boof. Throw myself on the bed. Then I noticed I couldn't roll off the bed to get a shower. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, I have to go to Mozambique in 2 days. Uh-oh, the fear starts to come.
You're not going to be able to walk. You're not even going to be able to preach with church. Fear! Fear!
And I was like, oh, no, no, no. This can't be happening, God. You have to do something. You're the one that planned this Mozambique, Swaziland, Ghana trip. You're the one that left me here alone. While the team, and I have to minister by myself. Then I start saying, wait a minute. This has to be healed. It's got to be healed. I have to do these things. I want to do these things. And I started to pray, pray, pray. I actually rolled off the bed. But I couldn't walk very well. Got a shower, felt better. A little heat on there. Ah, yep. Still, you know, a little stiff, a little stiff. Got back on the bed. It's not done. I need help. Heal, heal. I know you can heal. You've healed this ankle, so heal the back. I can't be stiff. I need to be able to be mobile. So kind of stiff that night, you know, a little bit. Next morning, laying in bed. Did God do anything overnight? Did my Father, the healer, the lover of my soul, do anything last night to heal me? Started to move over. Ooh, fell a little bit. But I started claiming healing. You know, I'm healed. I have to be healed. I'm preaching this today. And so, off the bed I go, onto the floor. Hey, I am feeling pretty good. Started dancing around a little bit. Yeah, I think I'm healed. I started claiming it. Because how many know if I would have gone the other direction and said, well, I don't know if I'm healed. I'm not sure if I'm healed. I'm not sure if I'm able to do this today. I'm not sure I'm going to Mozambique. I better get alternative plan, plan B, you know, that maybe it wouldn't turn out so well. But at my best, on this occasion, doesn't always happen, but I stepped into faith. And I stepped into faith that overcame the fear. He wanted me to preach that morning. He put a message on my heart. He wanted me to go to Mozambique without a gimpy leg and a gimpy back, too. You know, that looks a little weird going through the airport. And he took care of it. He took care of it. I didn't have any kind of relapse with the back after that. And I said, you know, you could kind of take the gimp out of my leg at the same time. For whatever reason, he didn't with that at that point. But right now, I have no gimp. So in his timing, in his way, we're patient on the things that he wants to last a while, for whatever reason. But we also claim victory, we claim healing, right away. Right? Yeah. Step into faith. And so, submitting to the Lord sometimes looks a little bit different than what we think. It's submitting to His truth about situations, about healing, about deliverance from evil in our lives, deliverance from evil influence in our lives. He'll attack us all day long. But a lot of them start bouncing off. How many heard that? They start bouncing off. Otherwise, he wouldn't call it the shield of faith. The fiery darts of the enemy, what stops those? The shield of faith. The faith that Jesus is with me wherever I go. The healer is inside of me wherever I go. the one that delivers me is inside of me wherever I go. Does that mean everything turns out just rosy and we have no more trials? No. But he's still with you. And he'll help you figure out all that stuff. So we want to resist the devil. What happens if we don't? Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit, or we quench the Holy Spirit. If you resist the Lord, you resist good counsel from the Lord. You resist His Word. You resist Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's actually like, oh, I wish Bill would just step into this. Man, he doesn't know what he's missing. He could have a healing here. He could be full of joy. He could be free. He could have a better marriage. He could have a better ministry. He could enjoy life with me more. Grieves the Holy Spirit that I won't listen to him on occasions when he can take me a step farther. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. He can't even do anything in us. It's become a pattern in us. No, Holy Spirit, no, Holy Spirit, no, Holy Spirit. No, I don't believe that, Holy Spirit. No, I don't think God would want that for someone. No, I don't believe in healing. No, I don't believe in people going down and they actually are touched by God, not somebody else pushing them. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe. After a while, you're quenching what the Spirit could do in your life. Right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So this morning, there may be some here. Oh. That have something quenched from Holy Spirit in your life that He wants to identify. There might be something in my heart He wants to identify. You're quenching me in this area. What are you doing that for? I'm ready and available to make you a freer person. Freer from sin. Free to build the kingdom. But you're shutting me up. You're saying no, not for me. It was a time in my life when many things of the Spirit, I just said, well, those are for someone else, and I can accept that, and I can accept them. But not for me. I know myself in the Spirit, and they're not for me. They're for somebody else in the body of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit kept coming to me, and in so many words, convinced me. You're quenching me. You yourself are standing against the very work that I want to do in your heart. Why are you making up so many excuses? And why are you using the Bible to quench me with? You know, this is one of the biggest weapons of quenching the Holy Spirit, of resisting the Holy Spirit, the very thing that should free the Holy Spirit inside of us. I use the Bible to quench many of the things of the Spirit in my life. Because I had my arguments, I had my teachers that I listened to, and they showed me further arguments, and I could argue with someone to the point that they would just not even want to argue with me anymore because they didn't want to answer my questions because I had all the questions for them. But I was the one in the wrong. I was out of step with Holy Spirit. I was the one resisting. I was the one quenching the Spirit. I was the one grieving the Spirit of God. Ever been there? I have. And I like this freedom much better. You know, you don't have to decide whether it's God when someone goes down on the floor here. You don't have to decide it. I free you from that. You know the one that has to decide it? The one that went down. Not even the one that prayed for them. And more, you'll notice Pastor Mary Pat's not praying for people and touching them. Have any idea why? Because some people, when God is pushing them down, they accuse the person praying for them. Because they're fearful. They're a little afraid. That's never been her heart to push anyone down. But you can actually feel like it's her pushing you down. Boy, it got real quiet in here. I'm smiling. You can actually feel like it's her pushing you down. We've had testimony after testimony from some people that felt it was her, and then if they continued on and asked Holy Spirit, he convinced them, no, that was me. She never even touched you, or she touched you lightly, and the power of God popped you down to the floor, and you first thought in your mind, that was Pastor Mary Pat, that strong woman of God with those with those massive muscles pushed down that 6 foot two guy that was resisting. You know, when you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but and many times it's the guys that have the most difficulty with that. That's really crazy, isn't it? The macho men come up, you know, God, if he's going to touch me, I'm only going down if he touches me. Plant themselves there. She just prays for them, maybe lightly touches them. Bam, to the floor. Boy, that woman pushed me down. Okay. All right, maybe step a little further with Holy Spirit. He'll enlighten you a little bit. But it's because of the resistance in the heart, right?
Right.
And, you know I've resisted Holy Spirit. Can you admit that to yourself? And I like it so much better when I don't. So much better. I'm freer. I'm not grouchy. I'm not grouchy. I enjoy life so much more when I'm cooperating with Holy Spirit, when I'm submitting to God and resisting the enemy. Because the enemy is going to give you every reason in the world to resist Holy Spirit. And there are groups meeting this morning, honestly, for the purpose of resisting the gifts of the Spirit. They don't know it, but it's happening. Because they've already put it in their bylaws. Resist. Resist anyone that comes in and says anything about this subject. Pretty sad, huh? Let's not ever get there. Don't you ever let us get to that place where we're resisting Holy Spirit because we don't understand what's happening to somebody on the floor. That's not your problem. Not mine. It's between them and God. If, you know, they took a courtesy drop and, you know, fell on the floor because they want somebody to feel good about praying over them, that's up to them and God. Even the person praying for them, they can't, you know, sit there and go, you know what? Get back up. That was a courtesy drop. You're trying to make me feel good. I feel good anyway. Just I'm free. You just get up. You know, it's between them and God. Right? You don't have to figure it out. I don't have to figure it out. Amen?
Yeah.
So let them deal with God. And if they're getting joy and you go, ah, oh, that's a fake laugh. That's a bunch of fake. I know a fake laugh when I hear one. And that's a fake laugh. That's between them and God. It is. We don't have to shut it off to make sure that we've got everything under control here. I mean, long ago, we decided to let the children have a little bit of freedom. Do you know what kind of risk that is? They come up here and they grab a $250 item and haul it off down the middle aisle. I'm up there on guitar going, well, there goes Mo. But you take that kind of risk when you let the children come up and enter into worship. Jesus said about the children? Yeah. And so we take that risk. And so there's actually been people come in here and criticize. Can you imagine? Criticize that decision. Because the children aren't always under control. You know what? I'm more concerned about adults that aren't under control. Or adults that are too controlled. Much more concerned about that. I just lift up the children and throw them around and wrap them around my head, you know, like Troy. And, you know, it's great. And enjoy them and let them enjoy some freedom. And yes, you know, if they're way out of whack or they're screaming more than our worship team can produce sound, we take them out. Okay? Maybe we should get to the message. Acts 7. Thank you, Paul. Knew I could count on you. Acts 7:51. For Paul's sake. Acts 7:51. This is Stephen speaking to those that are about ready to stone him. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Whoa! Would you be saying that to somebody who's about ready to stone you? But truth is truth. Those that were stuck in their ways, those that would not respond to the work of Holy Spirit, he called a spade a spade. You are resisting. And I'm sure Stephen knew what that was about. He had resisted Holy Spirit, and he knew the results, so he was able to preach it with fervor. You're resisting Holy Spirit. That's why you're trying to stone me. Otherwise, you'd be serving right along with me, the body of Christ. Become Christians and up this standing against God's work. And he loses his life for it. He tells them that your fathers persecuted the prophets. And now you're persecuting the new revelation that Jesus died for you, was buried, and raised from the dead in resurrection. You are standing against the very truth that could make you free. And you wouldn't have to sit there and count little things just to make sure that you're pleasing God in your offerings and so on. This might be news, but God doesn't have a little tally sheet up there and, oh, very nice. That was very nice today. Sticker. There was another little nice thing. Smiley face. He doesn't tally like that. He already took care of the tallying at the cross. Jesus paid it all. Past, present, and future. It's just whether you're going to step into that and enjoy it, and fall so deeply in love with him, you don't violate and dishonor him. It's a much better system than check marks. You know, how many a day are you supposed to have? 12? Good day? or 50? God would have to, you know, put that somewhere in his word. If you reach 50 a day, then you're free. Wouldn't that be rough? Every day you live, have to find out whether you reach 50? It's much easier to love Jesus, fall in love with him, that he paid all the tallies, he nailed it all to the cross, and we're just falling deeper in love with him. So people end up showing up here, and they're like, all they talk about is the presence, the love of the Father, Holy Spirit all the time. It's because it's a romance. When we really get it, it's about a romance. He's reaching out to us with his deep, abiding, unconditional love, and we're taking his hand to dance with him in that and say, yes, I am free. Oh, hey, I am free. Whoa, I'm finally free. Anything else, I say strongly today, is resisting Holy Spirit. Where we try to turn it into a Pharisaical system. If I do this offering and I kill this thing and I give that to God, he'll be pleased and cover all my crud. Now, I already did that with Jesus. No more lambs, no more rams. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't that be smelly in Jackson Township? Out here in the back, got the altar and, you know, smoking 24 hours a day. Bringing all the lambs and the rams and the doves and... Woo! Praise God that there's one sacrifice. And it frees us up. Frees us up. Okay, now I need the message. John 6, verses 63 and 64. This is about, hopefully, about resisting. John 6, 63 and 64.
The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a Spirit word, and so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this. Jesus knew from the start that some weren't going to risk themselves with him. He knew also who would betray him.
So read it again, please.
The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a Spirit word, and so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this. Jesus knew from the start that some weren't going to risk themselves with him. He knew also who would betray him.
Jesus gave messages at times where disciples walked away. They were resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. You know the betrayer, Judas, obviously walked away. Never to return. Peter denied Jesus and came back into relationship with him. Okay, so there's all these different scenarios, and I know, I'm fully convinced, that you don't want to resist Holy Spirit. So when you feel yourself resisting him, remember, some of you is getting in there, right? Your muscle, your effort, I know better, I don't trust this, it's getting in there. When others are, that you do trust, leaders in the Spirit are saying, you know, this is the movement of Holy Spirit. You have to end up trusting someone on earth to say, this is a move of the Spirit. This is what's happening. Are you in a family that can do that and not mistrust the leaders with what is Holy Spirit and what isn't? That's important. Very important. Acts 19 in the Message, 8 through 10.
Paul then went straight to the meeting place. He had the run of the place for 3 months, doing his best to make the things of the kingdom of God real and convincing to them. But then resistance began to form as some of them began spreading evil rumors through the congregation about the Christian way of life. So Paul left, taking the disciples with him, and set up shop in the school of Tyrannus, holding class there daily. He did this for 2 years, giving everyone in the province of Asia, Jews as well as Greeks, ample opportunity to hear the message of the Master, which just came out of the woodwork.
So what can stop the work of the Spirit? Accusation. Accusation. And so Paul followed the Spirit, picked up the ones that were willing to submit to God and the work of the Holy Spirit, and moved into a school setting to teach them further. He was in a little larger setting and taught, was resisted, was accused, and moved into a little smaller setting with those that were willing to follow the Spirit. When you're in a little larger multitude setting, there can be much resistance to the Holy Spirit. And then you move into a setting where the open ones are willing to go to the max with Holy Spirit. That happened to Paul. It can happen here without anyone leaving. There's going to be a remnant of those that trust the work of the Spirit. Those that want to follow Holy Spirit, have the freedom of Holy Spirit. You have to get on that bus. Okay, you have to choose to get on that bus, not just show up at the bus station, so to speak, and just watch people get on the bus. You have to choose. Submit to God. It's movement. It's, I want it. It's, I'm so thirsty. And you step on the bus of, I'm willing for all in the Spirit. So, someone in the Old Testament, long ago, stepped on the bus. In the book of Daniel. Let's go there quickly. You know that Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity. They were of the heart and spirit to trust in the Holy Spirit. It was at work inside of them to the point that Daniel stood up against 4 or 5 kings and was favored. As you know, he went through the lion's den, and the lions didn't want lunch when Daniel was in the den, but when they threw in the other guys, they ate heartily. It was because he was so full of the Spirit. It is possible. This is one of our human examples of following the Spirit. I would encourage you to read the book of Daniel with all that you're learning about prophecy, all you're learning about following the Spirit of God. It's mind-blowing. This guy, way ahead of his time because of the Spirit of God and not resisting Holy Spirit, being totally open to Holy Spirit, whatever he told him to do. So in chapter 1, you know, they're captured. They're taken to Babylon. He's 16 years old at the time. And he had some friends. So we only really hear about four people from this whole captivity. That's a pretty small group. But they're dynamic in the way that they submit to God and resist the enemy. And resist the enemy through kings. So chapter 2. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Who gave him those? And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, Oh, king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. Whoa. Not only do you have to interpret the dream, you have to know what the dream was. And they pleaded, Please tell us the dream. We'll come up with an interpretation. Sure they would. That's what they had been doing. And so they started gathering up all these people because nobody's interpreting the dream. That's their job. Nobody's giving the dream. They're supposed to know this stuff. They're soothsayers. They're soothsayers. Sooth, right? Soothsayers. They're supposed to know this stuff. And they don't. And so they start rounding them up. And guess what? They come to Daniel and his friends. They're going to round them up because, hey, they're supposed to know this stuff too. And Daniel says, What's the problem? What's the problem? And he had such favor with everybody he came into contact with. Here's the guy that's supposed to haul him off to kill him. And he spends time. They sit down for coffee at Starbucks. And they spend time telling Daniel what's going on. Well, you know, there's this dream and there's an interpretation. And the king wants, you know, this thing laid out there. And none of the boys can do it. He says, well, can I, you know, enter in here? Yeah, sure. Let's talk to the king here and give me a little bit of time, and I think the Lord God will give me the interpretation. And this guy didn't go, okay, on the paddy wagon, let's go. What's the matter with you? He listened to him. Favor. When you're submitting to God and resisting the enemy, look for favor to show up. It did with Daniel, it can with you. And so, sure enough, he spends time with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three friends. They pray. And by the way, help save their lives. Oh, they're my prayer partners. They're with me in the fast. So, he can't kill them either. So all of this killing stopped the minute Daniel got involved. That's pretty powerful for being a captive from another country, another place. And so, sure enough, the Lord God reveals to him not only the interpretation. Well, I guess he couldn't be interpreted unless he knew the. Okay, he gave him the dream and the interpretation all in one fell swoop. And so he comes to the king and he reveals this. Let's start in verse 28. Well, wait a minute. Let's go with verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Those were their real names. So when Daniel met with them, he used their real names. The king gave them names. And you have a name that maybe your parents gave you, but there's a new name in heaven that God gave you. you want to use that. If you know it. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to the friends that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night's vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, name of God, forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." Wow. He's praising God. He's including his buddies, even though he was the one that got the actual answer, the actual dream and the interpretation. He includes them. They're his prayer partners. They're his buddies in action, so to speak. They're part of the team. They're part of the army. So he ends up letting the captain know, "Hey, got it. God gave it to me." Takes him before the king, and he lays it all out before the king. The king is so impressed, so blown away. In verse 46, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him." This guy is only about gods that he can see. And so he starts to present it to Daniel, even though Daniel has consistently given the glory to an unseen God. "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret.' Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." That means he was at court, and the other three friends were at different outposts in the kingdom. By the way, the other dudes, they couldn't do it. They could not come up with the interpretation because they did not know God and did not ask God, the real God, the living God of Israel. They were not killed. Daniel, in this process, gets them released. Isn't that amazing? It splashed on the ungodly. God's grace, God's mercy, so great, splashed on the ungodly. So you would think that Nebuchadnezzar's got this all figured out. Wow. Guy says it was God. God, this is great. It's your God, and wonderful God, and praise God, and let me give you a little incense because you're God's representative. Wow, this is cool, great, wonderful. Except that, no. He was really resisting Holy Spirit. He got the answer that he wanted, but he was resisting Holy Spirit. Chapter 3. "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits." How quickly did he forget? Without the Spirit of God, when you're resisting the Spirit of God, you forget how mighty, how tremendous God is. It's only when you're submitting to him, when you're in his presence, when you're after him, when you're seeking him and his truth, does that continue to be your reality? Wasn't long before he's making a 60 cubit by 6 cubit idol. "He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wow, talk about your peer pressure. Everybody bowed to this thing, except for four guys that we know of. Wow. You think you have pressure from your friends, family? Everybody is bowing. They all come to bow. That's their purpose in coming to this dedication before this 60-foot tall image. Four guys either don't bother to show up or they're not bowing. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. There might have been more that didn't bow, or four guys, that was enough to accuse all the Jews. Accused all through history, started way back at this time and before. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve any gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" This is not the time to decide whether you're resisting Holy Spirit or you're submitting to Holy Spirit. It should be decided long before this choice comes, right? You're in this before you get to this one, where whatever you say is going to determine whether you live or die. You have to have a pattern before that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." You already know what we're going to say. You've seen our lives. You've seen the life of our friend Daniel. You know what we're going to say. Daniel was probably praying somewhere at the time, and they didn't haul him in for this one. His came later. "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, bub. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king, bub. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods,
nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Wow. No beating around the bush here. Hey, we see all these thousands and thousands of people bowing, but sorry, we won't. We don't serve your gods. We won't bow to your image. Clear enough? Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was already mad. And the expression on his face changed. You know how I think it changed? Remember how they, right after this, they filled up the fire 7 times hotter? I think he became 7 times madder. He was already raging fury back here. He's in fury here. Now, 7 times worse. He screws up his face towards them in 7 times of fury. Ugh. You know, whatever he did, his face just, you know, became totally red. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. In other words, there's not going to be any doubt about this. We're getting the big boys out here to take them in. We're putting this fire up 7 times more. They underestimated me, the great Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to make sure this deed is done. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, which I didn't even know they had back then, their turbans and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They tied them up in their clothes, leaving no doubt they're not going to escape. The mighty men are throwing them in. They're tied up in their clothes, the 7 times hotter furnace. We'll see about this God. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wimps. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Love that word there. Astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." I think they all spoke that way. "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Wow. Jesus is with you, and he will never forsake you. Whatever fiery furnace you're in. You've got someone in there with you. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Think how weird that had to be. You're calling people out of a fiery furnace. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Don't you love it? Untouched. Can you believe for that?
in your fiery furnace, untouched. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. Hallelujah. Praises God a second time. Chapter 4, he has another dream. Daniel's not too happy to interpret this one, because it basically says the king is going to be out there eating grass like animals for 7 years. And so he says, "I pray," at one point he's like, "I pray that this would happen to your enemies and not you, but the dream is as it is." And the king goes, "Go ahead, tell me. So right after he gives the dream, the guy's out there eating grass. He's the king. He's the, you know, guy at the top. 7 years. You know the amazing part about that is? God preserved his position. That never happens. Guess why? He honored Daniel and preserved this king that kept flip-flopping. Because the reason he went out and ate grass is because he decided, wow, look at everything in that build here. He's out there walking, you know, in Babylon near those hanging gardens more than likely. And look what I built. Just that quick, he's out eating grass. What was it, a couple weeks ago we talked about humility? And this guy keeps praising God and then resisting him through pride. But God was so gracious, he preserved his position for 7 years, and he came right back into it. And that's the last we hear about Nebuchadnezzar. He praises God that final time, and we don't hear anything else about him. They start talking about his son. So are we going to be on the same type of deal where we praise God and resist him and get the consequences of that? Or are we going to be on the type of deal that Daniel was on? He was on a roll. Completely cooperating with Holy Spirit. And there were times that he received these dreams and visions and he was shaking in his boots. And he fell down as dead. He saw angels. He saw amazing signs and wonders. And he received it all, even though some of them completely frightened him in his body, that he shook. But he feared God more. There might be things in your life that just shake you. But suddenly you say, wait a minute. He is always with me. He never forsakes me. He never leaves me. Why am I shaking in my boots? He completely loves me. He forgave me. From the time I received Jesus, he covered it all. Every part of my life with his blood. And now I'm free. I'm forgiven. What am I shaking in my boots for? Some of you may come before kings and rulers and presidents to speak for the name of Christ. The New Testament says you will have the words. They'll be right there for you through Holy Spirit. But I say to you now, make that the pattern of your life now, before that happens. So that when you get there, you'll really step into those words and believe that they're going to come. Just like Stephen when he's about to be stoned. Just like Daniel in the lion's den. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the burning fiery furnace. I believe you want that deep in your spirit. But we have to be careful that we don't forget. It's like the children of Israel. Why did they wander around for 40 years? They kept forgetting what God was doing for them every day. Trainloads of food and provision and protection, and their clothes didn't even wear out. And they're complaining and griping. And we have no position in the church that's head griper, head complainer, head accuser. We have other positions, but not those. Some of us would be really good at those. I think I could be really good at, you know, kind of griper position. My worst, you know. Could really be a grouch. Do a good job at that position. But I want to shoot for something higher. How about you?
Yeah.
Shoot for something higher. Love the other people in the body. Love the body so much, knowing it's the body of Christ. And these individual parts are part of Christ. I'm honoring Him when I honor individuals in the body. I know we're up to the task because Holy Spirit's up to the task.
Yep.
No matter what, you know, fiery furnace or what kind of teeth the lions have, we have the Holy Spirit that can take us through anything. But you actually might need to tell somebody else in the body when you're going through something. Let them pray for you. Let them encourage you. Let them help you see. Holy Spirit's all over it. Can take care of it, get you through it. Father, we just thank you that you're that way, that you're that gracious. You're even gracious to the ungodly soothsayers. Mercy on their lives because of the favor on Daniel. Are we any different than Daniel? No. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us every moment. In the Old Testament, they just had the Holy Spirit come upon them, dwell inside of them, but it was a temporary deal. We have you all the time, 24/7. You never leave us or forsake us. How can we resist you? You're our romancer. You are the one that will come and scoop up your bride. You are our beautiful, wonderful, handsome groom, and you're making us into a beautiful bride. Lord, help us not to resist you. When we realize it, help us to repent quickly. So, Father, we can step into the favor like Daniel and his friends in order to build the kingdom, not just for ourselves, but to build the kingdom, allow your kingdom to expand and extend. We bless you, Lord. We step up to that, Lord. We let our issues fall off of us like dirt in the shower, Lord. Just let it just slide right off of us. We want them taken care of quickly by your wonderful Spirit's healing inside of us. We declare to you, we don't want to resist you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome your work in our hearts and our lives and in whoever shows up here, Lord. We bless your name. And not like Nebuchadnezzar, Mr. One day he's praising you and the next day he's building an idol. God, we give that up, and we say, we want to consistently worship you, follow you, submit to you, not tear down, but build up, Lord. Quicken us, Father. Quicken us, Holy Spirit. Remind us that we should be building, not tearing down. Remind us, Lord. Your presence is always available to heal us, to empower us, to strengthen us, to to help us stand before kings and say the right things, to help us stand in a fiery furnace and not be burned because of the person that's with us, and to stand in with the lions, and we won't be eaten up because you're with us. We trust you, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. We give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We mentioned on Tuesday night that there is a pastor in the area that will be going to Togo and to Niger in Africa, very dark countries in the spirit. He's going to be doing crusades and a number of other things, and he'll be stopping in, Morocco. That's the country. Morocco for about 12 hours, and he'll be in a hotel room, and he's asking God to, kind of like in Babylon, give him some way to make an impact in those 12 hours on that country. So every step of the way, he's thinking that the Spirit of God will use him, and we believe so too, and we want to support him in that. And so Tuesday night, we said, if you'd like to give to that, if the Spirit is moving on your heart, then you can bring that up to the treasure box. So if we can get the treasure box and give the treasure inside the dial-in, and then we'll bring the box up. As you consider that before Holy Spirit, you can put money in the box. There's no obligation, obviously. We just offer this opportunity to you. And in fact, forgot to mention this to you. I think he's showing up today so we can pray for him around 1 o'clock. So if you see a handsome man come in the door and he wasn't part of the service, that's what he's here for. So anyone that's left when he comes, we're going to pray for him so that he's empowered on his way, on his journey. And I think he's leaving maybe the second week in September. So that opportunity is available, and to pray for him is available.
Okay. Andy?
This might be him.
We just want to show you a short clip of what's to come.
So, we have an awesome retreat coming up September 17th through the 19th. And as you can see, our theme is outlaw, which is a Western flair. And so we're really looking forward and really excited for this retreat that's coming. And so we're looking for you to invite people. It's going to be an amazing time. We're going to be out at the Northeast Ohio Church of God campground, which is out near Berlin Lake, which is kind of outside of Alliance. And so our retreats are an amazing time of just connecting with the Lord and worship, and we believe that God's got some amazing things in store. So if you're going back to school or college, just kind of tell your friends and invite them because it's going to be an amazing opportunity just for investment and perspective and claiming new territory. So,
these retreats over the last 9 years, maybe 8 or 9 years, we've done about 16 or 18 of these for young adults in the Stark County and beyond area, have been really pivotal, life-changing for so many. It has sent them on a course for intimacy with the Lord, presence of God, freedom in their lives, and also for many, just a stirring of what's in their heart for missions. And speaking of that, we just want to show you what's on our website. We encourage you to go to our homepage and really explore it. Mike and Michelle have put together a video for us so that you can really jump in and see some of the things that are happening right now. So let's just watch this one. This was this summer. This picture is this summer at our Kingdom Bible School in northern Ghana. And this is on our land of 29 acres.
Hi, I'm Mike Wheeler.
And I'm Michelle Oliver, and on behalf of Frontline Ministries International, we have exciting news to share with you about a development in the northern region of Ghana, Africa.
In 1998, Frontline Ministries International was divinely connected with Pastor Samuel Karkapoom. It began a long relationship where Frontline was able to travel to Ghana from 1999 forward each year and work with Pastor Samuel and his wife, Mama Vera Karkapoom.
Since 1998, Life Christian Center has seen enormous growth with church plants all over the country of Ghana, and Frontline's partner with them in this effort, bringing mission teams every summer to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and see many people touched and changed by the love of God.
In 2003, a Muslim chief gave Frontline Ministries International 29 acres of land. Just before he passed away, he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The new chief was watching, and he kept the original promise. Frontline's been able to return year after year and invest in the land and the people of Sala, Ghana.
So on this 29 acres, the Lord's given us vision for an entire community development center. That will include a worship center, a children's home, agricultural facilities, educational initiatives, micro-enterprise. There's going to be a medical clinic, and we have all kinds of exciting projects planned for this 29 acres of land.
It's a sustainable initiative that we're putting together where we're bringing the message of Jesus Christ in a way that will not only transform the spiritual lives of the community, but also their natural lives. We have an entire group together with an architect, a contractor, and a lawyer on the ground in Ghana working with us day in and day out to help secure everything that we need on our end to ensure that we can build and start construction immediately.
We've actually already broken ground on the land. We have a storage facility there, and we also have a facility that's housed our Kingdom Bible School for the past 2 years, where in the summertime we've brought a team in, a mission team, to host a Kingdom Bible School, a place where leaders of the community can be trained and equipped in kingdom principles and biblical principles so they can help bring the message of God's love to the community. And beside from that, we're going to be building a well in the coming months. It's going to be an ultra-deep well, and it's going to provide clean drinking water for the community. And it will also help irrigate the agricultural initiative on the land.
We ask that you would consider partnering not only in prayer, but financially with us as we undertake this project in Sala, Ghana. Our heart is to transform not only the northern region of Ghana, but also Burkina Faso and the Ivory Coast and other countries nearby. We want to see Africa touched for Jesus.
We're really excited, and we thank you for partnering with us.
God bless.
Wow, that was...
Amen. We wanted you to see that because we want to encourage you to obviously pray about this, sow into this, and also tell others about this, because there is no way that we can sustain all of this. This is something that God is saying, I'm starting with you, and I'm going to develop this, and more people will be coming in. But this is something that he has just handed to us and said, this is what I want you to do. And so when we are touched by what God is doing and we sow into these projects with what he's putting on our hearts, then he is gracious to multiply these things. And so we are trusting for kingdom benefactors to come and help us do these projects. They're very expensive, but we're just trusting in faith that God is going to do it. It's like, Lord, with a small group like this, comparatively, and he says, yes, because if you're faithful in the little things, I am faithful to entrust more to you, and it's very, very exciting. So we're just inviting you to do this. If you feel so led, to sow into this project right now. Whatever the Lord's putting on your heart, we can take some steps forward in some of the things that need to be taking place right now, so that there are many steps, so that we can have the wells, so that these things can start to come to pass. So really encouraging you to take it seriously. It's not, oh, just another frontline project. This is something that actually was the very first overseas in Africa mission connection that God gave us. Pastor Samuel is coming in October. He'll be preaching here. And we just wanted you to have an idea of what is going on in Ghana North. And so that's very, very exciting. It's right on the border of Ghana, as Mike was saying in the video. And so we have in mind, if you know where Ghana is, on the little hump of Africa, it's right on the coast there, on the ocean. We're believing that where God's given us this land that is in addition to land that we also have in the south. We have other land down there we're not developing at this moment. But the land in the north given to us by this Muslim chief, who now is saved and in heaven, and his wife got saved this summer as she walked by our compound, renouncing Islam, is just absolutely miraculous. That God is saying, step into what I'm doing at this moment and watch what I will do with you. You are not insignificant. You are a very, very important part of this. So if we step in and we all partner together and sow something into this as a frontline venture and endeavor that's going to bring the masses, I believe, to Ghana and beyond into the countries in Africa, we're going to watch the hand of the Lord do amazing things, as Pastor Bill is preaching about with the guys in the furnace. So Jesus is with us in this project, and he says now is the time. So if you're going to sow into that, I encourage you to also, if the Lord puts it on your heart, to sow for a local pastor to go to other nations in Africa, and also encourage you to really think about this for Frontline, because this is something that he has also established for us to partner together as a family, in addition to helping others out. So Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing, and thank you, Lord, that the thousands and thousands and thousands that we need to do all of these wild things around the world that have been started by you, Lord, they're in your heart, that you have just said, yes, I am partnering with you. Now step in and be a mover and shaker, and be one of those people that makes things happen, not just watching and hearing about it. By my Spirit, I will back you up, I believe the Lord says. So Lord, as we sow into these things, let there be just a mighty outpouring, so we can take the steps right now and not be hindered in any way financially, but to step into where you have us to move into right now. And I just thank you, Lord, for the securing of our land and the building of the well and the very next step that need your initial startup front money right now. So we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name for that. And Lord, we bless Pastor Moss. I don't know if he's coming now or later or what, but while we're here corporately, before we dismiss, Lord, we just bless Pastor Walt Moss from New Beginnings in Jesus' name for what he is going to be used by you to do in Ghana, in Togo. Where is he going? Togo, Morocco, and Niger. Thank you, Lord. And just believe right now, Lord God, that this week trip or two-week trip that he's taking in September, Father, will bring much fruit. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we're helping a local pastor be used by you as well to get there to establish your work. So we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. So I'm just encouraging you to really step into that, to give, and you can, for the Ghana Project, for Ghana North, just indicate that on your giving. And if you're new today and you're visiting, we welcome you. We ask you to fill out a yellow card that's right in front of you and put it also in this box right here. That'd be very helpful so we can connect with you and encourage you as well. So God bless you all. Two quick announcements so that we can be on with our day. I know that there's a family picnic. You're all invited, whether this is your first time or 100th time to Frontline. You're all welcome, and there are maps out in the front, and it's out at Lake Mohawk. You don't have to sign up. If if you're new, just come. We just encourage you, and we just praise God for the Rogers who are hosting this out at Lake Mohawk. We just thank God for them. They're right back here. And also, Frontline Training Center is starting its fall beginnings. The curriculum and the classes and such are listed for you if you would like to look into that. That's in your bulletin. There's a flyer there, or a little insert, I guess. And we just really encourage you to read through that. There's sign-up sheets out on the bulletin boards out there. A lot's happening right now. If we don't have your email, then you'll get a snail mail letter from us about the sex trade and children being rescued. There's a mission going on right now in India where children are being pulled out of brothels. And if you don't have that If you didn't get an email about that, we'd like your email, and your snail mail should come to Monday, I believe. And if you haven't, if we don't have your address or you just want it right now, you can take one of these that is the same letter, actually, that will show you and tell you what's happening. And there are pictures here of kids with their eyes blocked out because it's so dangerous. And we really encourage you. We have a couple up here, so just come up and take one before you leave. And I think that's the last announcement. They can sign up for the Frontline Training Center classes and such. You really need to take a minute before you run out and go to the bulletin board and do that, because Rachel will have to call you if not. So please do that. And also, again, the prayer and fasting. If you have worked through this and this is something that's just changing your heart and life, please bring it back so we can give it to other people. We bought a bunch of these, and we just really believe that the message in here is so anointed that it will touch you in the deepest places of your heart, to really open your heart to another key in the arsenal that God's given us, a very, very important one, in Jesus' name.
Just a couple quick announcements. This Friday is First Friday at what time? Where at? Downtown Canton. First Friday is our outreach that we have. It's a community event every first Friday of the month, where a lot of people set up booths, a lot of art booths and music booths, and we set up a pray and draw pictures and prophesy over people booth, and we get a lot of response for that. And so if you have any specific questions, check with Andy back there in the green shirt. Number two, if you've gone on a mission trip with us this year at all, I just, for like 10 seconds after the service, I got something to give you. And then envelopes for giving are going to be up here for regular tithes and offerings, as well as any of the projects that have been listed for the past to Togo. If you could just write on the check Togo or to go, spelled the same way. We're sending him to go. And so if you want to write that on the check, that way we make sure that gets there. And any of the projects, if you want to make sure you specify that, as well as tithes and offerings, that would be awesome and appreciated. And yes, Ghana North, Redemption, which is the India project that many of you have gotten emails on, and some of you will get mail on as well. So that's about it.
As far as the Ghana North project, we want to take some steps with some very important things that are already in motion. And so if that's on your heart today, write the check today. And you can bring it Tuesday, but if you have it on your heart, like, I want to do this, we really want to step into this. So we could use that today if that's in your heart. So God bless you all. I know we're talking fast to get all these announcements in. Hopefully they're not confusing to you. If you have any questions about them, we don't want you to mix them up. Please come up. God bless you and have a great day.